112.
The Life of Mary Souther, the true-to-life story of a young woman who, certain at last of the love and goodness of the man she married, is ready to battle for the happiness threatened at this moment by the law and by a mounting tide of gossip. Mary Souther is presented each weekday at this time by the makers of Itana toothpaste. Mothers, when you teach your children to brush their teeth, also teach them to massage their gums with Itana. I-T-A-N-A, Itana toothpaste. But why massage with Itana? Simply because massage with Itana helps give your children the healthier gums that are the very basis of sound, strong teeth, and a lovely smile. Listen to these three important facts. First, gums need more exercise than our modern creamy soft food menus provide. And without that exercise, gums are apt to grow flabby and soft, lacking in resistance. Second, to supply more of that necessary exercise, that all-important stimulation for the gums, thousands of dentists recommend massage. Here are the words of one noted dental authority on the subject. We may gradually harden soft, bleeding gums by proper and constant stimulation. Third, Itana, get this because it's very important, Itana is specially designed to be used with massage. Specially designed to help make gums firmer, stronger, and therefore to help you have sounder, stronger, more sparkling teeth, and a smile of beauty that is universally admired. Tonight, why don't you try the famous Itana technique for better oral health, Itana with massage. After you brush your teeth, massage a little extra Itana into your gums. You immediately know that your gums are being stimulated. There's a tang you feel, a tingly, glowing feeling that's exclusive with Itana. And that zestful tang, as exhilarating as a quick plunge in the pool, means that Itana with massage is helping to give you the firmer, healthier gums so necessary to sound strong teeth and a bewitching smile. Think of the oral health of your whole family next time you go to the store. Ask your druggist for an economical tube of Itana toothpaste today. And now to continue the life of Mary Souther. Yesterday, Sheriff Bosco took Max to Fulton to appear before the grand jury on charges growing out of his partnership with Cheney in the gambling house raided by state police last week. Both Mary and Max were confident that when Max told the grand jury he had joined Cheney in the gambling racket to assure a more complete roundup of the gang, that the charges would be dropped. In the meantime, however, Mary's loyalty to Max has loosed the tongues of the gossip mongers, who accuse Mary of being as bad as Max for standing by her husband. When Dr. Benson told Mary this, Mary's resentment flared up, and she declared that she wouldn't give a snap of her finger for public opinion as long as it remained that. But if it tried to move against her happiness, she would fight to her last breath. This morning, Mary is trying to bury her anxieties over Max's impending fate under her duties as housekeeper for Reverend Blaine. Right now, she's running the vacuum cleaner over the rug in the study. She sees the morning paper folded on the desk and stops the vacuum cleaner. Mary picks up the paper. Is there anything on the front page about Max?
Oh, Reverend Blaine.
Oh, I didn't mean to startle you, Mary.
Oh, I guess I just felt guilty for loafing on the job.
Oh, but you're entitled to time's out. Cleaning up after me is hard work, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
Oh, is there any news of interest in the paper this morning? Local, I mean.
Just says that Max was behind closed doors with District Attorney McGraw for 3 hours yesterday.
Well, you mean he hasn't been before the grand jury yet?
Apparently not. The paper surely would have reported it if he had.
Well, they'll probably get to that today, I guess.
Reverend Blaine, do you feel uncomfortable in any way, now that things are as they are, about me living in the flat upstairs and working for you?
Well, of course not. Why should I feel uncomfortable?
Well, would you feel uncomfortable if people should begin to talk about it?
And the word you're trying to use is gossip, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, as to how I feel about gossip in general, that happens to be the subject of one of the fieriest sermons in my repertoire, Mary. It doesn't do any good to rail against it, though. It's like trying to shout down the March wind. They're inevitable, and you can't stop them, but they always blow themselves out.
Well, but if the gossip should involve...
Us?
Sounds bad that way, doesn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, Mary. I fully expect gossip of some sort to spring up about this thing, but... Well, it's quite all right for you and the babies to live here and for you to keep house for me. And that's all that matters, Mary.
Thank you, Reverend Dan.
You started to ask me something this morning when the telephone interrupted.
Oh, it was about a little plan I had to help out with the church financing.
Well, by all means, let's hear it. If you could do anything to improve their health, I'll personally see to it that you have an extra star in your crown.
Well, it won't run the church coffers over, I'll assure you. But it will help some, I know. You see, I'd like to organize a group of the ladies in the church and put on a monthly entertainment and supper.
Mm-hmm.
People like to eat and they like to be entertained. And they like to get together. There'd be nothing wrong in capitalizing on those things for the good of the church's finances.
Well, I should say not. Well, it sounds like a very good idea. Now.
I'd love to do it, Reverend Blaine. Right now I need some outside interest to sort of help take my mind off other things.
Yes, of course. Mary, I say go to it with all your might.
Thanks. As soon as I finish cleaning up here, I'll map out the whole plan. And if it meets with your approval, I'll start right away to get it going.
Good. Well, it looks like I have fashionable company driving up outside.
Oh, looks like Mrs. Proust's car.
Yes, it is.
She's just the one to head my group of ladies. Society leader of the town and most prominent member of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But she might not want to work with me, being Mrs. Sanders, but...
Now, Mary?
I don't mean because of Max, especially. I mean... Well, you know she's always been a little jealous of the name of Sanders. It wasn't until Max's mother and father moved away that Mrs. Puss could become society leader. And I'm sure she still resents, not in any mean way, of course, resents the Sanders interest still controlling the town.
Because it makes the name of Proust still run second in prominence,
mm-hmm.
huh? Uh-huh. Saved by the bell. Why, we might have started doing a little gossiping ourselves, eh, Mary?
Shall I answer the door?
No, you run up to the babies for a while. No, I'll butler for myself,
oh,
thank you. Why, how do you do, Mrs. Proust?
Good morning, Reverend Blaine. Quite too early for me to call, but I have such a busy calendar today that I simply had to get an early start.
But I'm honored to be the first on your list, Mrs. Proust. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
This chair over here seems to be getting a bit of the morning sun, but I think you'll find both very soft.
Thank you. My, what lovely tulips. From your garden?
Why, yes, and I'm very proud of them. I've had very good luck with them this year.
Well, I should like for my gardener to get a planting of them from you. I love tulips, and there's not a one in my garden.
Oh, better than that, I have some new bulbs, and you may have them.
Splendid. I'll send the gardener for them today, if you don't mind.
Well, I should be very glad for you to have them.
Reverend Blaine... Sometimes I think position in a community is a thing to be shunned rather than desired.
Well, it undoubtedly carries tremendous responsibilities, Mrs. Bruce, but they must be borne by someone. And I'm glad that in Sanders those responsibilities are borne by a very capable woman.
Thank you. But that doesn't lighten my burden any. Listen, Blaine, as a leader in your church and in the life of the community as a whole... I feel it my duty to advise you of certain talk of the town that not only concerns you, but reflects on you. Therefore, on the church, and therefore, on the community.
Very well, Mrs. Proust.
We both admire frankness, so I shall speak directly.
That's always best.
It is expected of a minister, of course, that he shall lend a spiritual hand to guide the less fortunate members of society. But there is a point beyond which convention says that even he must not go.
Now, you said you would speak directly, Mrs. Proust.
Yes, I shall. The town clerk I mentioned has grown out of your obvious sympathy for Mary Southern and her criminal husband. I certainly don't, and no one has a right to censure you for wanting to help people like that spiritually. As I say, that is part of your duty as a minister.
That's right.
What the people do feel, and I must confess that I back them up in it, We do feel that Mary Tudden should not live here under your own roof. At Parrish's roof, Reverend Blaine.
I see. On the face of things, Mrs. Tooth, I can't complain against yours or the town's attitude in the matter. For until the truth is known about Max Sanders, what I'm doing for his wife and her babies, Mrs. Tooth, does appear somewhat unconventional.
I don't know what you mean about the truth about Max Sanders, but if you admit you're being unconventional, why do you persist in it?
Well, I wouldn't risk criticism of my congregation and the town, Mrs. Tooth, if I didn't have a very good reason for what I'm doing. My discretion has never been challenged before, and I ask that it not be challenged now.
You mean, then, that you...
I mean that you and the congregation must leave the matter to me, your pastor, and permit me to work out privately what I cannot work out publicly.
Very well, Reverend Blaine. I don't presume to tell the clergy right from wrong. After all, you are a young man and are expected, perhaps, to have more liberal views on right and wrong, but I must caution you that your congregation, of which I am a leader, prefers to see its minister abide by the old-fashioned conceptions of right and wrong, and old-fashioned conventions.
Well, I'm afraid there's nothing more that either of us can say then, Mrs. Booth.
Very well, Reverend Blaine. I'm afraid I must be going.
Well, will you send your gardener for the tulip bulb?
Oh, on second thought, I believe it's too late to plant them now. Good day, Reverend Blaine.
Goodbye, Mrs. Booth. Well...
Reverend Blaine.
Yes, Mary?
I've just thought of a grand idea about the money-raising plan, and Mrs. Truth would be just the one to lead it. May I talk with you about it now?
Well, I think you'd better not do anything about that just now, Mary.
What?
Well, just forget Mrs. Truth and church finances for a while, will you?
Why?
Well, I think there's a storm coming up.
Yes, Reverend Blaine. All the signs of an approaching storm seem to be present. Will it break? And what havoc will it wreak? Listen carefully, because this is important to your oral health and your beauty. Don't let dingy gums and the dull, unsound teeth that often go with them cloud the beauty of your smile. A trace of pink on your toothbrush means danger. So watch out. When you see pink toothbrush, see your dentist. Maybe you're not in for serious trouble. Often pink toothbrush simply means that your gums are flabby because they don't get enough exercise from our modern soft food diet. So your dentist will very likely say your gums need more action, stimulation. And like so many modern dentists, he may prescribe Ipana toothpaste with massage. For Ipana, I-P-A-N-A, Ipana, when used with massage, is specially designed to aid the health of your gums as well as to give you cleaner teeth. Tonight, massage a little extra Ipana into your gums. Zip, just like that, you feel a tang that's exclusive with Ipana and massage. And that famous tang tells you that you're helping to make your gums firmer, healthier, more resistant to disease. Remember, firm, healthy gums are the very basis of sound, strong teeth and the bewitching smile that goes with them. Ask your druggist for an economical tube of Ipana toothpaste today. When gossip reaches the point where a woman of Mrs. Proust's standing takes action, and hence at further action, a real storm cannot be far off. Will Reverend Blaine remain loyal to Mary and Max? Or will he be forced to retreat from the part he has claimed? Will Mary and the babies have to move? Where? Don't miss tomorrow's chapter of radio's most fascinating serial story, The Life of Mary Suffolk.